Welcome to our podcast. This is Friends on Fire.
I'm Mike. I'm a lifelong devotee of financial independence. I even wrote a book about it.
And I'm Maggie, a newer convert, but just as passionate, especially on the intersection of minimalism and financial independence. We're one in the
same. We are two like-minded friends who believe that talking about money with your friends and family opens the door to financial well-being.
The Friends on Fire podcast is about dispelling myths, building financial acumen, and sharing your financial independence journey with the people you care about.
This is Friends on Fire.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Maggie.
It's that time of year, dude. Like, love's in the air. Valentine's Day is a couple weeks away.
Oh, I thought you were talking about tax season.
What was that? I was like, you made a funny face when I said love is in the air. I mean, also, love is in the air. Greg worked on our taxes and almost finished them this weekend. And that makes me love him more. So You're right. Love is in the air.
It's one of your love languages. Doing your taxes for you.
Doing my taxes for me and the expense tracking, which he also does for us, are two of my love languages. Have you already done your taxes? Where are you at on it? Speaking of that.
I've done most of my taxes, but all of my tax forms from Schwab are not available yet. So I cannot complete them.
Is February 15th the magic date with Schwab also? Because that's like the date that Fidelity and Wealthfront, they like put in the system that certain forms will be available February 15th.
I think it's up to the different companies when they do it.
I think it's funny that it's always that date, like something, I just picture that like someone, there's a lot of meetings and people are like, we can't get it done by the 13th. I mean, we could probably get it done by the 15th. Okay. So before we get into this week's discussion, I want to read you a review that came through last week, Mike.
Okay.
And I go through all sorts of feelings when I get these reviews. I got pretty thick skin. I don't mind the feedback. I'm just sort of like, okay.
I don't know. You're kind of delicate sometimes.
I don't know. Sometimes. I'm like a flower, you know? Okay. So someone, this was a positive review, I think. It started positive. It ended kind of petty, to use their word. Thanks for this great podcast. I love Mike and Maggie and their contrasting styles. This is very petty, but is Maggie aware that she sniffles a lot while she's talking? Once you hear it, it's hard not to hear it every time. First off, what do you think about this? Mike, you do our editing.
You know what's funny? I am very much attuned to all of your little quirks.
Noises.
Now. But the sniffling is not one that I've picked up on, and I'm actually quite scared for the fact that I'm now going to hear this all the time while I'm editing.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. I'm not like, Joel O'Leary, who I love, he goes by 5 a.m. Joel, he recently sent an email and was sharing a piece of negative feedback that he got from someone that was just a little like unnecessarily harsh. Like someone was unsubscribing and they kind of left why, and he kind of wrote a whole email about it. And I have a similar attitude to Joel of like, I let that stuff kind of roll off my back. Even that person admitted it was petty. I don't mind feedback, guys, at all. We just have a million ways that we always offer that you can share feedback with us. You can send us a text message. You can leave us a voicemail. You can DM us on Instagram. You can email us through our website. There's a ton of things you can do directly to share that feedback with us. Leaving a public review on Apple Podcasts, which is one of the ways that our podcast gets shared and kind of received and discovered by new listeners, it's just, I'm kind of like, is it really necessary to put that in a public review? And you admitted that it was petty. Like in the review, they said, this is very petty. So I'm just like, as you're writing that, I'm like, so anyways, it's not a big deal. I more thought this was just a good reminder for anyone who is not bothered by my sniffling. And or like you might now be bothered by it now that this person has made everybody aware of it. First off, I got a lot of like post-nasal drip sinus issues.
A lot of issues.
I can't help it. You know, I was going to compare it to some other medical condition. I don't know what, but it's how my sinuses work. I apologize that it is distracting. I'm aware of all sorts of things I do. I say a lot. Mike edits out all sorts of, you know, I clear my throat a lot. Also related to the sniffling, I guess. I might have been sick when they were. I mean, I'm often like when we still record when I'm sick. Who knows? Anyways, let's just move on. But I thought it'd be a nice reminder to let people know that if you want to make this not our most recent review, you're welcome to go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And, you know, we love positive reviews because those are public, obviously, if you appreciate the show, of course. And if you're listening, I assume that you appreciate it, but I don't know. We do this. We don't make any money off of this. We purposely don't put ads in it. This is really a labor of love from Mike and I, which is perfectly in theme for this week's topic also. And anyways, if you want to go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, we would love it. And if you have any feedback about my sniffling or any other noises I make, or Mike.
I have some feedback.
Okay, hold on, Mike. I got a different inbox where you send your feedback. we have a special one just for you, a dedicated line.
It's called
line.
The trash.
No, it's our WhatsApp thread. You know, you get anytime you'd like. But yeah, go leave us a review. And if you, again, seriously, if you do have feedback, we love feedback. We're very open to it. We prefer that you share it directly with us because it's actionable. And this is like a performance review at work, right? We don't like put it online for the world to see. We politely and thoughtfully share it with the person that can do something about it. So anyways, if you want to go leave us a review, we'd especially appreciate it right now so that you can cover up the sniffling review that is currently our top review or most recent review. Okay, let's move on.
It doesn't bother me, Maggie, for what it's worth.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. And let's move on because we've already spent more time talking about it that implies I care about it more than I actually do. I really just wanted to use it as an avenue for if you want to leave us a review, go for it. We really appreciate those reviews. Okay. We're talking Valentine's Day is a couple weeks away, Mike. We are talking about financial intimacy. How does that term make you feel?
Confused?
Is it like a new term to you?
Yeah. It's okay. A new term and a new concept. I've read through these notes and I'm like, I'm still not sure I get it. So this will be a good episode for me to listen and learn from you.
Well, here's why a couple of theories on why I think you say you don't get it. One, this stuff is so second nature to you. Like you literally like grew up in a family that talked about money, right? So mm-hmm. This isn't like abnormal to you. And to many people it is. It's a taboo, awkward discussion. They didn't grow up having a comfort level talking about money. And, you know, you're not like the most emotional person in the world. You know what I mean? Like, so even just like the concept of intimacy and applying it to money, I think would be like kind of like, and I don't just say that against you. I would say that about like a lot of dudes for what it's worth. But I think I would gather that's why.
I think you're right.
The term is like, you know, just not something that like rolls off the tongue for you. But it does for a lot of people and they don't use that term. But one of the questions and kind of issues that is brought up the most to us, and it's one of the most difficult to tackle, honestly, is people who have trouble talking with their spouses and partners about money. And like, they're really excited about it. They've started the journey to improve their personal finances, but their partner's not aligned for some reason. And the other thing, by the way, Mike, on the point earlier about you is like you and Britta are like super aligned financially. And you've always, I think in the discussions you had from the very beginning, talked very openly about money.
Yeah. Our level of financial intimacy, I think, would make people uncomfortable.
It's very high. Yes. It's yeah. Very high. I would wonder.
Extremely intimate conversations.
Yeah. I wonder what the like PDA version of like public displays of affection is like. You guys are like out in a cafe having like an open conversation about like money and people are like, oh my God, do you see that couple over there? And it's not that you're like making out in public. You're like, they are having the most detailed conversation about a spreadsheet.
I think you were exactly right.
And it really, you know, PDA makes some people uncomfortable. So imagine the discomfort when you're financially intimate in public. Okay. When you are aligned, like you and Britta are, and like I think Greg and I are, it's really awesome. And we'll talk more about it, but it can really help your relationship in so many other levels. But when you're not aligned, it can be really tough. And that's where we get a lot of questions and scenarios from listeners that they're not aligned with their partner or spouse. And we actually, in episode 109, we talked about, the episode was why and how to talk to your partner about money. But we're going to go a little bit deeper today and really talk about being like open and vulnerable with your partner about money, which is the concept of financial intimacy. And that's why I kind of like the term. Like I'd never heard that term before.
And this can be something as little as how you make small purchases together, or as big as your retirement plans in the future for your life.
Yeah.
These recommendations will apply to all types of financial discussions.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's small and large. So let's start with just defining the term financial intimacy, because I had not heard that specific term before. I wanted to do a talk about, for Valentine's Day, I wanted to do a talk about like a deeper level of talking to your partner about money. And I was doing a little bit of research on it, and I came across this term financial intimacy, which we did not make up. And I just loved it, because it's like it summarizes the spirit of what I meant by like a deeper, you know, discussion on money and relationships. So the idea of financial intimacy is it's this level of trust and comfort that couples can have when discussing and managing their finances together. And kind of like Mike said, small and large stuff. It's a measure of how open and honest partners are with each other about their financial goals, their habits, their challenges. And again, couples with high financial intimacy, like Mike and Britta, and I think I'd say like Greg and I, are able to talk really openly and honestly and vulnerably about money. They're able to talk about their dreams and how their, you know, finances can support that. And they're able to work together to achieve those goals, which we'll talk more about. And they're also like, they understand each other's financial situation. So I've talked to people where they're like, I don't really know. They're like deep in a relationship, maybe not married yet, but they're deep in a relationship, and they don't really know if their partner has debt. They don't realize it till later on or after they got married or something like that. And so it's having a shared understanding of just the details of your financial situation, from income to how much you're spending to what your debt is. Actually, Rich and Regular talk about that when they were on a vacation together, when they came back, they almost broke up over it. He learned that she had put that vacation on a credit card, and he was like, I never would have gone if I had known you were going into debt to go on this trip. And that made him concerned about their relationship early on. And then they got past it because they were able to have some very, you know, financially intimate discussions. On the other hand, a couple with low financial intimacy has a lot of difficulty discussing money. So they may have different views about spending and saving. They don't necessarily have any sort of a clear or shared financial vision or situation. And it can lead to a lot of conflict. It can lead to a lot of stress and a lot of mistrust. So I love this concept of financial intimacy, because I do think it's really important to help couples build trust, work together to achieve their goals, and reduce a lot of stress in their life. And the reality is, while it comes pretty naturally to you and me, Mike, you know what? Speaking of you and me, we have a level of financial intimacy with each other also. Not to make this like weird.
You're right.
But
we also,
we do.
You know what? We have also, I think, had quite a bit of financial PDA in the office, for instance, which probably made people uncomfortable.
That's so funny. Wow, you don't usually make me like laugh out loud like a lot, Mike. That was really funny. That's not true. You make me laugh a lot. Yes, we talk about it. I was thinking about that as I was like looking at you and thinking about just that I keep saying we both have it, you know, with our spouses, who I sometimes have to remind people, if you're a new listener, Mike and I are not married to each other.
Yeah, we're friends on fire, not spouses on fire.
We're friends on fire. Yes, we're friends on fire. But we talk a lot about, early on, I think we talked a lot about how early on in our friendship, we became friends faster and on a deeper level because we had these open discussions about money. And that is 100% the concept of financial intimacy. Like, it supercharged our relationship because we had these deep conversations. And no offense, but a lot of the conversations, even with people I really liked at work, were pretty like on the surface every day, right? There was a limited number of people that I would have like deeper conversations with. And you were one of them, because we went so far into, you know, you knew how much money I make. You knew how much money I was saving. You knew what investments I had in my 401k. And yeah, and we had a lot of financial PDA at work, because we would like in the middle of like a staff meeting, I think sometimes like my boss would have to like shut us down. Boy, just talking about a staff meeting makes me cringe. Well, it doesn't even make me cringe. It makes me like, I'm like, wow, that feels like a lifetime ago. Like staff meetings, you know, weekly team meetings. I don't have those anymore. Okay, so back to this. So this concept of financial intimacy, like I was saying, it comes pretty easy to us, right? Like I'm a pretty open book. I'll talk to most people. I will get financially intimate with most people, even people I like just met, if they show a level of interest. I'm there, you know. I'm quickly financially intimate with people. Strangers, anyone, I was going to say family members. Anybody really. Okay, but it doesn't come naturally to everyone. And so for some people, it really does take some very conscious effort and time to develop. And look, every relationship is different and unique and at a different stage on kind of where you are already. But we pulled together some different tips and ideas to help improve your financial intimacy. And again, this could be with a partner or spouse. This could just be with a friend where you want to have more if maybe you're single and you just want to have more in-depth financial discussions with friends, right? I think you can actually take these learnings and apply it to many situations. Hey, Mike, what have I not done once since we started this episode?
Cleared your throat?
I haven't cleared my throat or I haven't sniffled.
Fry. Cough.
I can't.
Say look, oh, sorry. Sniffle. Oh, that's right.
Sniffle. I know. I'm such a flawed human being. I have just so many issues in my head. In it, noises, just everything. Okay. Going back to financial intimacy.
All right. So let's kick off this list. I think the most important thing is to make all of these conversations positive. There is nothing less intimate than going in aggressively wanting to attack or degrade somebody. So you have to be positive no matter who you're talking to, because this is going to be, in some cases, a very private topic for people. The other thing is going to be focus on the future. The thing about money is that it's for life, and in many cases, long term, as far as the decisions you make. And so if you focus on what are the long term objectives, either with a shared vision or the long term implications, it will help alleviate the pressure of like an immediate problem that needs to be solved. And I think this idea of shared vision is particularly important for partners when talking about your life together, and especially important when you're talking about early retirement. And so you want to make sure that you are having a positive discussion of where you see your life in 10 or 20 or 30 years, and make sure that you are aligned on that. And it's something you both want, because then you can work back and all of the problems, all the discussions, they just sort of fall into place because you are perfectly aligned on what the future looks like.
Mike, one of my favorite examples of this from the Playing with Fire book or documentary, which they're both great if you haven't read or watched the documentary, is the husband in that relationship, who's the filmmaker, got really into this and was like really sold, and his wife was not. And he's trying to kind of bring her along and convince her of this journey of moving towards some fire goals. And she was just like not, she was not having it. She was like, I work hard. I want to drive this car. I want to, you know, have nice things, whatever. And what finally brought her on board was the why and that shared vision and her understanding, wait a minute, I could have more time with my family. I could work less. So it is that shared vision. It's not about the money. Like when you just go to someone and you're like, we need to cut our expenses. Like that's not approachable. That's not, or approachable is the wrong word. That is not how you build intimacy. I'll put it that way, right?
Right.
And that why and that shared vision, I just think is so important. And that entire documentary is an example of that. So it's something I encourage you to watch. And that's a cool, like, go watch that as a couple, right? It might be just something that sparks a conversation and kind of inspires a journey. On that note, the next tip is set aside some regular time to talk about money. And that could be, the first one might be, hey, I really want to watch this documentary with you. And maybe don't call it a documentary. That might turn some people off. But
a documentary about saving money. God, movie, that sounds romantic. Right?
This movie. But the idea of setting aside some time, and this is where I think you can, you know, get creative and get, you know, be unique in alignment with your own relationship and personality. I wouldn't bring, this isn't a conversation, like you don't build financial intimacy right after work when everybody got home and you're stressed out and tired and you're trying to hit your spouse up with some conversation while you're trying to like make three lunches and cook dinner and, you know, unwind after a stressful day.
You don't build any kind of intimacy that way.
Yeah,
that is a stressful time.
That is no time for a serious discussion unless it's, you know, like something's on fire. So find a time when you both are calm and can give the conversation your full attention. And I know that's hard for a lot of different people in different life stages, with or without kids, with different things going on in your life. But, you know, consider maybe making it a fun thing, like make a financial date night, plan it and make it kind of a, you know, I was going to say like a romantic take on money, but I don't know if that's the right angle. But, you know, do a fun invite where you make some references to spreadsheets and how you want to review some spreadsheets before you get between the sheets. I don't know. I'm just like saying, get creative with whatever works for you and what is ever in line with the vibe of your relationship.
And if you're looking for some recommendations on structure, think back to all of our messages about expense tracking and net worth tracking. Maggie and I update our net worth charts on the first day of every month. And I think typically you will take those to Greg that day or the day after. I do the same with Britta. And that becomes our cadence. And so if you can review monthly or annual tracking exercises, this becomes like a known way. And there's, you set expectations that way.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion.
And when you set aside time and you have those meetings, make sure that you are bringing a purpose to it. And the and an easy way to kick those off is to discuss some of your concerns and priorities. And if you can make these introspective and about you to start, it helps your partner or whoever you're having these conversations with kind of open up a little bit more if that is part of the challenge. But make sure that the conversation has a purpose and that you are understanding their perspective and they are understanding your perspective. And so work through these concerns and priorities in the same way that you would work through any sort of concern in your life and with the help of the person that you're talking to.
Yeah. And another tip is to really listen. Right. Like Mike said, you know, start by talking about, you know, your own concerns and priorities, but then ask some questions. Right. And not combative questions, you know, not like, how come you spent so much money last month? That's not a question I'm talking about.
Yeah. It does not build intimacy.
Yes. No. Maybe a question like, hey, you know, what are you stressed about? Like, do you stress about money? Because I sometimes do. Right. Like the idea of being vulnerable and kind of digging deep, that's the intimacy part of this discussion. Right. And then listening, like, so ask some questions and listen. Don't criticize, don't blame, listen, focus on finding solutions together and share your own feelings and be vulnerable. And I think it's that vulnerability, again, that is what truly creates the intimacy. And then financial intimacy leads to an overall, you know, improvement in your relationship and closeness. And so that vulnerability, I think, is important across multiple levels of a relationship, but particularly when it comes to talking about money also.
Once you have established a cadence of meetings, once you know how these conversations are going to go, and you've built some level of intimacy, I think it's important to also share the responsibilities and have clear roles for how you are going to manage finances and achieve those goals which you started your conversations with. Now, Maggie, I'm curious, how do you and Greg break these responsibilities out? Because a lot of this started with you, but I think you've delegated some of this work over to Greg. I'm curious.
Well, yeah, you're right. It did start with me, but Greg is a very, I mean, he had like, he didn't work in finance, but he did kind of like a big part of his job was financial. And so he spent a lot of time putting together like pro formas and P&Ls for different business units that they were looking at. And so he's super like, I don't know, I was going to say like, he's really good with spreadsheets. I'll put savvy. It that way. He's very savvy with a spreadsheet. Yeah. Big turn on for me also. And so he, one of the ways that I think is like naturally happened, like even in our rental property business, like I deal with all the tenants, I deal with like marketing and communicating and interviewing tenants and posting stuff and all that. But he's like the CFO, right? So I forward him receipts. He does all of our P&Ls and the payouts from our account. And so he's just naturally fallen into that with like our rental property stuff. And then he's kind of over time fallen into that in our household also. And I think a lot of it is because he's good at it and kind of enjoys doing it. And then I naturally take on a lot of the like household organization. Like I'm the one that is kind of on top of like the millions of emails from school and all the different things, the places people need to go and our like family schedule and stuff like that. And so we do a lot of dividing and conquering just across our household. And he ends up doing some of the like heavier lifting on some of the financial stuff, right? And like I'll do a lot of like credit card hacking, but he again still he does the expense tracking and he does our taxes. I feel like I'm missing some category there, but those are some of the big things that he puts more time and energy into. But I do some of the like longer term financial planning, if that makes sense, like thinking about just like deferred compensation and some of the specific investments and index funds and stuff like that.
So he's the CFO, but you're the chairman.
He's the CFO, but I'm the CEO. You're right. I'm the chairman and CEO. Chairwoman and CEO. That's a good one. What about you and Britta?
I do all of it, which would come as a shock to nobody because I love it. I'm good at it. And I was doing it myself long before I met Britta. So it was very easy for us to fall into that rhythm when we combined finances as well.
I was just going to clarify, you've been financially intimate with yourself prior to ever being financially intimate with her.
Yes.
Got it.
Not sure what that means.
Whatever you want it to mean.
What she does do very well is she participates in the process very willingly and effectively.
She consents.
Yeah.
She gives her consent.
I am really losing track of what this metaphor here. So when we, you know, we scan all of our receipts and I keep track of this stuff. So she like, has that process down. She participates in it. She scans her stuff. She holds on to it. She knows that when she buys something that doesn't have a receipt, she sends me the email. Like she is involved. She also is aware of and looking forward to our regular meetings. We talk about expenses, we talk about net worth, we talk about long-term planning. And so even though I am doing the work and leading it, she's a very active and enthusiastic participant.
I like that summary because I would just like to go back and state, I am also an enthusiastic and active participant with Greg being our CFO. But there's another like amazing skill I have, and I'm always like kind of joking to Greg that I have this just awesome skill where like he's going through Mint and he's updating expenses and a couple of things happen. One, there'll be an expense that just he's like, what is this? Like it's a weird name. He's like, there's no receipt in here for this. And I just need like one piece of information and I'll be like, oh, that's that thing I had to pay to the teacher for the blah, blah, blah. It just takes me like a second. I can bring it back. Like, and he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but okay. And puts it in. Or he'll say like, hey, there was a Target purchase for, you know, $42 or something. And I'm like, yep, that was $10 for a pair of pants for Kate. That was blah, blah, blah. That was this much grocery. Like, I just have like an amazing recall for what was purchased and why and when. And he often is just, he's like, okay. And he's just typing it in, but he has like no recollection. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. I'm like, you don't remember this? You don't remember that we, you know, anyways. Okay. So another tip is really, you got to be open to compromise. This is not just with this topic. This is for success in any relationship, right? You have to understand that you are not always going to agree on everything and be willing to compromise. Sometimes, you know, like I say, take turns, but like divide and conquer, divide and conquer is the wrong term, but just compromise, right? Is the right term, right? Of sometimes it might be that, you know, you want to spend more money on something they do and you're going to like that thing. I don't like to use the word like win, but like that thing's going to be something that, you know, you really fight for and push on. You got to choose your battles, right? And there's going to be times that you want to let your partner have it their way and that you want to have something your way. And I think that's how relationships work, not just from a financial intimacy standpoint, but just in general, if you want a successful relationship, the ability to compromise is really important. And on that note, if you guys are just stuck and you just can't get here, there might be the final kind of step. I don't want to say final because I love therapy and other things. But the final step might be that you need to seek some professional help. And this could be that you need to go to couples counseling because you're just not able to communicate effectively. Forget about money, but just about anything. And when you try to talk about money, if you're constantly getting mad, like you might want to go see a therapist about that. That's a great investment in your relationship. You also might want to go see a financial coach instead, right? And so depending on kind of what you're struggling with and where you guys are hitting some roadblocks as a couple, there's no shame in seeking professional help, right? And you might need to spend a little bit of money to improve your finances longer term and to build that financial intimacy. And I think it's a great investment, right? And again, there's no shame in it. And if you just get to the point where you can't, I think you could, a lot of couples can do this themselves and kind of take a DIY approach. But if you can't, then get help.
And if you're not married, consider probing on these topics as early as possible. Now, Maggie, you and I have talked about this in a bunch of different contexts, but I think we are very much aligned that if you are early in a relationship with somebody and it's like you guys are so far apart, that might be a good indication things are not going to work out longer term. And so, you know, I think people over time in relationships kind of converge on their attitudes about a lot of different things, but they need to start in a place that is not too far apart in order for those relationships to work out. So not on your first date do you need to talk about this stuff, but maybe like second date.
I totally agree. And second date isn't too early, right? You know, there's people who bring up kids and stuff that early on, right? And so don't be afraid to bring this up early on. And not just don't be afraid, but I think we've said it in some of our other episodes, Mike, of just like you owe it to yourself to bring this up early on. When I was doing a little bit of research for this episode, Mike, I was reading an article and it was actually making a point that I hadn't really thought about, which is from the first date with someone, you're dealing with finances. There's always that sort of awkward, like who pays? Do we split the bill? You know, whatever. And I think that's a good reminder of like money is just a part of all of our lives, whether we want it to be or not. So you can't avoid it, right? And the idea of creating financial intimacy, it can bring you closer together, right? Like if you can't have a honest or funny kind of back and forth about who's paying at a first date, you're not going to be able to talk about anything down the road, right? And so I just think about, I love the idea of like it literally starts on your first date. And just also the concept that financial intimacy can it can and should improve your relationship. So though it might feel kind of bumpy at first, it is so important to have these discussions. And most things that kind of come across as like money issues are never just about money. They're always stemming from something else. They're stemming from, you know, some fear about something in the future. They're stemming from a frustration that your partner's not communicating with you about what they're spending and you're not in the loop about what's happening with your finances. Whatever it is, there's usually something underlying there that's important to talk through. And again, it isn't just about the like dollar figure. It's about what's actually happening in the dynamics of your relationship. And I think, you know, our final just closing thought on this is remember that financial intimacy is an ongoing process, right? It's something that you will continue to work on over time. So even if we talked about, you know, couples with high financial intimacy or low financial intimacy, this may ebb and flow over the course of your relationship for different reasons. And that's okay. Right. But really putting the time and energy and investment into growing your financial intimacy as a couple, I think, pun intended, Mike, pays dividends.
Ooh, I like it.
Multiple types of dividends, I would say. It grows the trust and respect and communication in your relationship. And I just think it will increase all of the intimacy in your relationship, not just the financial aspects of it.
All right, Maggie, let's bring this home with our top three takeaways. Number one, financial intimacy is important. Money can bring you closer together in your relationships. It may be tough or awkward, but it's also important.
Number two, as your relationship grows, strive to mirror that growth in your financial intimacy, which means you're going to get more and more financially intimate over time.
And number three, commit to setting a financial date with your partner. Maybe even on Valentine's Day, even if you are already advanced in this topic.
Okay. Well, I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Thank you for listening. If you have been challenged or inspired by what you've heard, please rate and review the show. You can also subscribe to make sure that you never miss an episode.
If you have any thoughts or questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail or text us at 404-981-3370 or hit us up on Instagram.
Okay, I was trying to think of some clever way to
you can sniffle.
Sign this off. I could sniffle.
Big sniffle to take us home.
I love that pay dividends pun. I feel like we should go back to that. But I'll sniffle. I don't know. I'm not going to sniffle just on the principle of like, I think I've actually made it through the entire episode without sniffling, which just to be clear, I think is actually most episodes when I don't have a cold. But I don't know. Who am I? I mean,
I will let you know when I edit this episode. Okay. Maggie.
Thank you. Please send me a summary of my sniffles.
I will put the results in a formal review on Apple Podcasts.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Maggie.
Thanks, Mike. Bye.